Today we're joined by Thomas Franco of Clayton, Dubilier & Rice, Jay Coe of Sigular Guff, and Edward Lemley of AlpInvest Partners. We're talking about the importance of data in private equity, not simply data, but the way that you receive it, the way you analyze it, the way you use it to make yourself a better investor. All of you are heavily involved in that process, and so I'm fascinated to hear what you have to say. Let's talk about the pain that has been experienced historically in private equity in sharing portfolio company data, getting it from the portfolio companies through the GP, in many cases through the fund of funds and to the LP, and then how that is improving and can be made better. Tom, you are in charge of investor relations at Clayton, Dubilier & Rice. How painful historically has it been to sort of regularly gather data and share it with your LPs and also to respond to their many ad hoc requests for information?
I might not use the word pain. I would say that it's a challenge, and I think that we're evolving our capabilities to be more efficient. You know, there have been some comments about, expenses in the GP and communicating, and being transparent about that. One of the areas where there has been more investment in terms of, managing the GP is in the area of, fulfilling these kinds of disclosure requests. You have to have people that are able to find the data within the system and then put it into a format that is particular to the LP that's requesting that information. So that takes time. The efficiency, we think, long term will come from more standardization and also platforms that are providing services, at least technology-related platforms, to deliver this in a much more effective way.
Jay, as an investment advisor, you are both requesting information from your own GPs and from their portfolio companies, and you are responding to requests from your own investors. Talk about just the resources and people necessary to make that happen.
So in the small buyouts universe, we've got over almost close to $2 billion invested across more than 50 different managers, and then 30% of that capital invested in co-investment transactions, direct transactions. The data interface there is really managed by that team that manages that set of portfolio relationships and direct investments. And we found that that's the best way to do it because the data is just completely integrated into the decision-making process. How we extract performance information from that and then report it is then much less duplicative than it might be if you had a completely separate reporting function that would provide it. So that's on how we get information. We do the same kind of thing when we talk about our emerging markets activity or distressed investing or distressed real estate investing activity so that we can say things like, across our distressed real estate portfolio, on average, we're investing at less than 38% of replacement cost, for example, and know how much square footage we have and extract that information. What we have had to do, though, is add, more resourcing at the individual investment team level to make sure that we continue to maintain these increasingly large and complicated databases and to standardize the way we're actually getting that reporting. Because we do get some customized data requests that come in, and we do also provide very specialized and tailored information, particularly in separately managed accounts. So when we're trying to customize to a portfolio, provide very specific reporting, that does create additional resources that we sort of marry between our investor relations team and our deal team activity.
Edward, AlpInvest is one of the largest investors in the private equity asset class. You both request a lot of information and no doubt get requests for lots of information. Yeah. Talk about the team and the resources that you've built to process all of that. Has it grown over the years?
We've certainly invested or are continuously investing in systems and technology in addition to processes and human resources and growing teams. So with the result that much of this is fairly automated from the gathering to the processing and displaying the data. But there is always room for continuous improvement. I think in terms of gathering, we use a multitude of sources, including outsourced providers that are specialized in it, directly from GPs.
So how does it work? Is it usually you will send a Excel spreadsheet template to a GP and say, please fill out these forms, and then they have to respond within a certain amount of time?
The deal team sends out a very tailored request. And it's here it's important to not inundate the GP with just a laundry list of 500 items, but really sort of have an initial analysis of that fund opportunity and then ask for those items that are value added for analysis. Certain things like entry multiples, I think, have been standard for many, many years in the industry, and many of those are will continue to be requested. ESG is definitely something qualitative that's new, and several other items. But I think this is a very different topic from sort of the ongoing data requests. I would say there are three remaining challenges that cannot be covered by automation, and I would just like to highlight them. One is just reviewing and checking the data, which cannot be done by computer and revised investment professionals. Second one would be disclosure rights. We quickly realized that you really need to monitor what exactly you can disclose on a very granular level, and looking at side letters or LPAs. And here, obviously, the hope on the LP side would be that there is increasing standardization and increasing willingness from GP's side to just be more and more forthcoming with what can be shared then by LPs to their investment sources. The last point is really making sure that we add value in how we design the reporting to our investors and really show relevant analysis rather than just...
Here's 10,000 facts.
With 10,000 rows and 200 columns.
Yeah. That leads to a question I have for all of you, which is, you know, we know that LPs want much more information. They want to be able to analyze that information. And yet many of them don't have the resources of AlpInvest, Singular Guff, or Clayton, Dubilier & Rice. Is there a risk or is there a reality that many of these LPs are getting reams of information, even information that can be sliced and diced, but they actually don't have the team in place to do anything useful with it? And is that a big challenge for that community of investors?
If you look at the structuring and resourcing and governance of different pool, long-term pools of capital, whether they're endowments and foundations, high net worth individuals, corporate plans, large, middle, and small size U.S. states, international superannuation and pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, they all have different fundamental human resources that they have available. They have different decision-making processes. They have different data that's available to them. And they also have different restrictions on how they can kind of operate. The best GPs that we work with and some of the role that we play for our separately managed accounts in particular is this kind of customized interpretation of what's happening and the context in which it's happening in these different markets. So, you know, the easy example is something like the emerging markets, where you've had election cycles in South Africa, Indonesia, India, and Brazil is upcoming, right? So how do you think about the performance of your portfolio and the currency effects of it in the face of these, you know, potentially major political changes?
We believe at iLevel that by providing a limited partner, an institutional investor, with deeper access to data, they'll have the ability to have more confidence in their data to effectively be able to monitor and measure the performance of their portfolio, ultimately increasing the asset class allocation, ultimately getting better returns in total. Today, over 100 GPs use our technology. What Blackstone realized several years ago was that inefficiency of having access to data that was spread across the organization, prone to errors, difficulty in trying to aggregate that, very time-consuming processes. They have expensive resources on the investment teams that were spending upwards of 80% of their time chasing data as opposed to doing what they're paid to do, which is essentially analyze that information, assess performance, and ultimately source new deals. So having it centrally stored really gave them the ability then to effectively and efficiently use that data for a variety of reporting purposes. Yeah, if you look at allocations today from an LP's perspective, they're really putting a small percentage, 6, 7, 8, 10% perhaps, into their overall portfolio. The reason that's so limited is because they don't or they haven't had the ability to effectively look at that data to assess risk and exposure. You know, where do they have an issue in a portfolio? Do they have a particular allocation that's perhaps needs to be hedged against the public market? So they have, while the asset class has always outperformed the public markets, or at least in most cases has outperformed the public market asset class, they haven't had the confidence in the data that they have, or perhaps the lack of access to that data is the reason why they've not been able to increase the allocation to the asset class.